Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sophia with an F. I am recording from WTF Media Studios based in Soho, New York. Let's just do a little bit of housekeeping. Subscribe. Subscribe to this shit. It's going to change your fucking life. Like that's the energy that I'm going to start channeling. Okay, last thing, merch. I don't know if you can see because you're not subscribed, but I am wearing the Sandra Martinelli crew neck right now, which my producer Yomi, first thing she said to me when I walked in the room, fire. It's genuinely super cute. The colors, I love it. I don't need to convince anybody. If anyone is a little bit confused though as to why it says S. Martinelli on my clothing, I'm going to give you the abridged version of where Sandra Martinelli came from. The S stands for Sandra, okay? The Martinelli stands for something I'm about to explain. Basically, I was scrolling Instagram. I had the biggest crush of my life on this dude, surgeon, super hot, a little bit older than me, which we know I love, treated me like shit, you know I love that. And I was stalking his ex, and you guys already know the rest of the story, okay? I double-clicked and I accidentally liked a picture his ex-girlfriend had posted in, 1994. So I started hyperventilating. No fucking way am I gonna get caught, be this fucking embarrassed. Cause I knew his ex would tell him immediately. I don't think there's anything more embarrassing than that. Than hearing from your ex, oh, that girl that you're casually fucking right now. Yeah, she was balls deep in my Instagram page. No, honey, I am not gonna let it go down that way. So, because I am a genius, Albert Einstein level, I decided to, and this is within 10 seconds of accidentally liking this girl's pic, okay? I mean, I had 5 seconds to hurry and figure out what the fuck I was gonna do. I changed my profile name to Sandra Martinelli. I was no longer Sophia Franklin, I became Sandra Martinelli. So that when his ex went to see who liked her picture, guess who's watching? Guess who's liking your pictures? Some random ass bitch named Sandra Martinelli. And of course, I hurried and turned my profile to private. Put me under pressure, and that is where I thrive. The funny thing about this story is, I mean, there's two things that actually stand out to me. A, Sandra Martinelli. Who is that? Where did that name come from? You know, like I pulled that name out of a hat, out of thin air. Sandra was actually the cleaning lady at my aunt's apartment in New York where I was living at the time. Shout out. She is the best. I love her. And there was a Martinelli bottle. You know, like that. It's like fake alcohol Well, at least that's how I take it in Utah. But it's, you know, Martinelli, it's the apple cider, whatever the fuck it is. I saw a bottle of that in the apartment. I put two and two together. That's where Sandra Martinelli came from. Second funny thing about the story is I left my profile as Sandra Martinelli for an extended period of time. That's how shaken up and terrified I was and scared of being caught. I left my profile on private and as Sandra Martinelli for weeks. So you have to understand, I had friends and family calling me, DMing me, saying, someone hacked your account, someone has hacked it. And you know what I told them? Nope. No one did that. It's good old Sophia Franklin, and that's just my fucking name now. Some people thought I had completely lost it. Like, I remember, I think it was my uncle or my friend, I don't even know who the fuck it was, reached out to my mom and said, I think Sophia's having a midlife crisis. What is up with this? Oh my God. Everyone should try this just for fun. Completely change your profile name on Instagram or whatever and just leave it like that for a while and see if people catch on. It's actually fucking marvelous and amazing. So there you have it. That is the origin story of Sandra Martinelli, and she is still here and she is thriving, and perfect Christmas gift, by the way. Have you ever noticed how celebrities have brighter, wider looking eyes? Their makeup artists have a little secret in their kit. Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute. It literally happens right before your eyes to help them look brighter, wider, and more awake for up to 8 hours. No wonder it's so loved by influencers, celebrities, and makeup artists, and has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Lumify is also the number one eye doctor recommended redness reliever eye drop, and it's FDA approved. No bleach, no dyes. Plus, it's made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, so whether you're on set, on a date, or running on just a few hours of sleep, you can have eyes that look brighter and wider with Lumify eye drops. When you try it, you'll see that it's what your eyes have been looking for. Check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. Okay, let's get into the fucking episode, because I took last week off for the holidays, for Thanksgiving. Is that even politically correct? Do we still call it Thanksgiving? I mean, I know for a fact we are not celebrating Christopher Columbus, who, first of all, lied and said he discovered America before anyone else. I mean, most successful people do that shit. Am I right? I know we're not celebrating that, but are we allowed to call it that? I'm not sure. I apologize if I offended anyone. But this past week, I went to a private island. If I sound bougie right now, I just need everybody to know that that is not me, and I'm very fucking humble. But I was invited to go to a private island, and it was a very new experience for me. A, I have gone some nice places. I have never been asked to, you know, take the heli over to the private island that Richard Branson lives on. No, I've never been asked that before, so that was fucking dope. It was just a big group of people. Some people I wasn't that close with, or some people I didn't know that well. Some people I knew extremely well. And basically, one of my really good friends decided to be a fucking boss, okay, and his fiance, and they decided to get a group of fun people together and put them on this gorgeous fucking island. Why did they want me to go? God fucking knows. You know why? Because I have personality. I have charisma. I will be the one with the sluttiest swimming suit on. Those are probably the reasons. Listening back to what I just said, I can tell how that sounds a little fire festival, a little shady, like what in the actual fuck? To be honest, in the beginning stages of the whole thing, I was a little taken aback. I was like, what? So you're just putting us all on an island. I don't know everyone exactly. Where's Billy McFarlane? Because I know he's out of jail. Because I fucking saw him at Bounce the other night. He was at the table just bobbing his head back and forth and probably planning his next trip. But anyways, the trip turned out to be one of the most incredible experiences of my fucking life. We took a helicopter and they pointed out certain people, like the guy that invented OtterBox. So the guy that basically invented phone cases, he owns an island there. But there's something that I want to tell you that happened on the island that has haunted me. That was the highlight. I mean, we experienced so many amazing things. The beach, just the entire atmosphere, the house, the people. It was gorgeous. There were lemurs. There was meditation. Like, it was fucking amazing, okay? I can't emphasize that enough. Except, of course, because it's me and because I am there with one of my very good friends from high school, Ali Asmar, who you guys probably know if you've been listening to the show for a while, I decided to bring her. And when we get together, we can be a little mischievous. And I did something on the island that basically changed the entire vibe of the trip for me. Well, actually, not just for me, for the staff as well, okay? People are like, where the fuck are you going with this? Let me tell you the toaster story. The brave little toaster story. Oh my God, I fucking love that movie. Okay, it's the first night of the trip. We get into our room and we decide that we're fucking starving. And we're looking around for a menu for room service. And I texted the people that I did know that were on the trip. And they were like, homegirl, you are not at a hotel. You are on an island. And there's people here to obviously take care and make it fun and whatever and serve food. But it's not 24-hour room service, okay? We're not at the fucking St. Regis, like whatever. I mean, it was way nicer than the St. Regis. Even though I love the St. Regis, I was just there also during my holiday. But there was no room service. So Allie and I decide to go look for some food. And when I tell you I was hungry, sometimes I can sleep that off. But actually not very often. This is the thing with me. I have a tapeworm. It is not confirmed. I have not seen a doctor. I'm 97% sure because the way I eat is it doesn't add up. You know what I'm saying? And I actually gave her a name. It's Edna. It was Melvin, but now it's Edna because I want her to be a woman. But I really do think I have a tapeworm. I will eat a meal and like every single time without fail, I get starving after about 15 minutes. So thank you for listening to me about my tapeworm. Let me get back to the fucking story. We decide that we're hungry as fuck. So Allie and I decide to just browse, to just walk around. You know, maybe someone is cooking up something. Who knows? Who fucking knows? All right. So we are running around, and I mean physically running around this estate on this island looking for a fucking breadcrumb at that point. When I say we went into every crevice, I tried every door. I felt like I was at Hogwarts, Harry Potter, like secret passageways, the Sorcerer's Stone. Like there was no fucking place that I did not check. And what it really came down to was we had one option. And it was a half a loaf of bread wrapped up in aluminum foil that we found in the kitchen. And there were multiple kitchens, but this one had our back. Thank God. Thing is, we felt like we needed to toast the bread. That's how I know Allie must have been high as fuck, because when your munchies are that fucking detailed, bitch, we are like slim pickings here. Now you need this shit toasted. So, I mean, I was right there with her. So we want the bread toasted and we see a toaster. So we go ahead and I begin to put bread in the toaster, and then we freak ourselves out. I was like, if they catch us, Allie, toasting this bread in their kitchen, I am going to die. Not to mention, I'm on this island with a bunch of new people that I'm waiting to meet. Like, do I want to be that bitch the very first night we're there? No. So, brilliant idea. We decided to take the toaster to our room. Back to our room. And let me just say, this isn't like a regular toaster, okay? This is an industrial-sized fucking toaster, fucking toast 12 pieces of toast at a time type shit. Did we care? Absolutely not. So we take this big boy up to our room. We make our toast. We butter it. We eat it. And have a great night. I wake up in the morning and I am just filled with anxiety. First of all, I can't confess at this point that I stole this fucking toaster. Like, I cannot do it. The first night I'm invited to this island with all these classy, beautiful, gorgeous, nice, amazing people, I'm gonna be the bitch that stole something from the kitchen. Not to mention I have a history of stealing shit. Like, I'm not going to be her. So I woke up freaking the fuck out. And I was like, Allie, what do we do about this toaster? I'm way too embarrassed to tell the staff. We can't do it. So I told Allie to hide the toaster in her suitcase. Allie looks at me and says, you're being crazy. We're just going to leave the toaster out. And when they come to clean the rooms, they'll see the toaster. They'll take it back. I grabbed her forcefully by her arm. And I said, bitch, listen, you are my best friend. You are like my sister. This toaster will not be found by the staff. We will sneak it back into the kitchen once we get there. Put it in your fucking suitcase. I don't care if we have to check that shit in and the toaster has to go through customs. It is not going back to the kitchen until I am off this island. Okay, cool. Whatever. So we sit down at breakfast and I start looking around and there is not one piece of toast. There are people eating bagels that are not toasted. There is basically just raw, fresh bread. So later that day, we have a couple people come to our room. And Allie does not have my back. I'm saying that out loud right now. She left the toaster just in the kitchen area of our room. And the people that came over to hang out and chill and drink a little were like, yo, why do you have a fucking industrial-sized toaster in your room? Like, what are we doing here? And we confessed the story to them. We begged them to not tell anyone else on this fucking island. We begged them to not tell the people who worked there. And one of the first things that came out of my friend's mouth was, you know, someone's gonna get fired over that shit. Which is not funny. I mean, he was saying it in a funny way because obviously I don't think anyone would get fired. But he was like, damn, you've been just hanging on, chilling with this fucking toaster, and you know someone who works here is literally getting fired for their job. So then at that point, I want to start crying. Okay, still too scared to say anything, but like I'm building up the courage and I'm like, that's not how it's going to go down. We need to confess. So what do? We decide to confess the second the boat shows up to take us home, right? Because like if you're going to confess to something, as long as you do it while you're on your way out, it's like how bad can the repercussions be type of thing. And I was actually going to keep it to myself, to be perfectly honest. But Allie over here had a full diary of the mouth and said, hey, by the way, we took your toaster. I was hoping, and I absolutely know Allie was hoping for a little bit of a different reaction. I think she was thinking, this is lighthearted. This is funny. It's a toaster, whatever. The reaction we got was very, very nice, very kind, because this is one of our besties that we became very good friends with that worked on the island. She looked at us and was like, no fucking way did you girls take the toaster. There is no way. Do you know that I had my staff looking for this toaster for an entire day? And accusing some of the staff for fucking taking this fucking toaster. The most fucked up part is when Allie did decide to confess, I put my sunglasses on and put my hood up and I walked away. And I pretended like I didn't even share a room with her. I was like, toaster, what? What are you talking about? I have no idea. But long story short, that is what happened. And it caused a lot of unnecessary anxiety. And moral of the story is, if you're staying somewhere, probably don't just look around and just grab the one thing you can find, which is a piece of bread, and steal a fucking toaster and keep it hostage in your room. The moral of the story is, be honest. That's what it is. Be honest. Oh, see, that's what the holidays do to me. Skims, what can I tell ya? It really is just that good. I can't fight it. I can't deny it. All I can do is hop on board and share with the people I love, aka my family and you guys, the perfection that is Skims. Like, Kim K just knows her shit, and she's really proved it with Skims. Every single item I have tried has been the best I've ever tried in that category. Like, whether it's underwear, loungewear, their famous t-shirt bras, Kimberly Kardashian, she just knows clothes, especially when it comes to the basics. My Skims cotton jersey t-shirt, probably the most worn item of clothing from my closet right now. The fit is insane. It snatches me right at the waist. And I mean, I've washed this thing over 100 times, but the stretch and the shape, it still stays. I have it in the color Kyanite, which is this kind of earthy blue toned color. But really, I need it in every goddamn color because it is a staple in my wardrobe. I can lounge in it, which I do all the fucking time, wear it to a recording, or I could pair it with a baggy pant and heels and a little purse and look like the cutest thing ever for a night out. So you guys, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. It means a lot to me and helps me so much. And with that, love you, Sloots.
Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure. High Hopes follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious, half-baked, literally, employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. You will absolutely fall in love with the quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud. If you know, you know. All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu. This is absolutely a show I'm getting behind. So that was the island. Then for the holidays, I decided to go home to Utah to see my family. Always, 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 I'm a big family gal. But I'm not going to beat around the bush because I'm sure that you saw, if you follow me on social media, Sviva and F, Franklin the Y, I brought a guy home for the holidays. Dun, 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 mic drop, what the fuck, Sophia, what are you talking about? Yes, I am the most hypocritical bitch on planet Earth, and I own that. I'm owning it right now. I have always said that you taking someone to meet your family, or if a dude takes you to his house to meet his family, it means something, right? It's a major signifier of where you are in the relationship. That's what I used to think. And then I grew the fuck up. And I'm realizing a lot of the things I said when I was younger are just completely inaccurate. And that's not the case. That's not the case at all, okay? I mean, I would have a one-night stand with a dude. And if he was fun, I would take him to, like, my cousin's, you know, baptism the next day. Like, I don't give a fuck. Come along. And trust me, my mom is on board with this shit. I will bring anyone home. I don't know if that, like, affects my brother poorly because he is 11 years younger than me and, like, what kind of, you know, role model I'm being. But I think it's a great one. But back to this man. So many things I could tell you about this man. Just so many. I mean, where to start? He got a tattoo of my name about 1 to 2 months into talking to him. Okay? And it is fucking huge. And it was also my handwriting when I was heavily intoxicated. So it looks like a 2-year-old wrote it. And it's shocking, but it turns me on. So I will tell you guys the backstory. I will tell you guys everything. I will fill you guys in later, but let's just cover where we are at right now. Let's call this guy Birkin Boy. I don't know if you can see this, hence the fucking blue Birkin that I've spoken about. If you know, you know. This man gifted me a gorgeous blue Birkin for my birthday. And so, you know what? His fucking name is Birkin Boy. And that's it. God, what's the fucking superhero from SpongeBob? I literally just asked someone this question. Barnacle Boy. Okay, well, this isn't fucking Barnacle Boy. This is Birkin Boy. And we've been seeing each other for a little bit. I still do my own thing, honestly. And that's the honest truth. But he's my main, okay? He's the turkey on the dinner table. There's coleslaw to the left. See a coleslaw. So I bring him home for the holidays because I don't give a fuck. Being home for the holidays, and I need everyone to hear me out. I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this. Something dawned on me while I was having my yearly existential crisis meltdown. Because I feel like we use the holidays as kind of a time cursor or a reflection on, hey, where are you at in your life, right? Every holiday, your fucking birthday, New Year's, Thanksgiving, Christmas, same fucking shit. Easter, I don't know about that one. But the rest of them, like, it's kind of this moment in time where you're like, okay, so where was I at last year? You know what I'm saying? So I started to evaluate my life, and that is never a good thing to do. That is a rabbit hole. That is something that I should never pertain in. I need to be the type of bitch who lives in complete denial, but I can't help myself. I like to reflect and evaluate a lot, a little too much, okay? And I started thinking, like, how does my life differ now? And I had a lot of mixed feelings about this, and I want to know if people can relate to this. When I got to my mom's house, I slept in the same room that I had lived in for 2 years, right, prior to moving to New York. So I've only been living in New York, I don't know, almost a year. I spent a huge chunk of my time living in that room, going through a bunch of trauma and bullshit in that fucking room. And the first night I was there, I had this PTSD nightmare dream. It was the craziest shit. It was like, I remember waking up sweating as if I was back in the exact same place where I had been just a year earlier. You know, it was fucking dark. Don't get me started, though, on sleep paralysis. That's a whole different story that I need to talk about. But it was, I woke up and I was like, holy shit, I woke up with this dark feeling. And then I decided to walk into my old studio. And let me clarify what a studio means, okay? At home, I used to record out of I'm going to call it what it is, glorified closet. 11 by 12 square feet type shit, okay? And I walked in and I was just like, those feelings came rushing back of just kind of the depression and the trauma and all of the things that happened. And just, I remember recording in that fucking room, like in a completely different mental headspace. I was mentally not okay. But I would just put out fucking episodes I will never listen back to. But it was just a little bit dark. Between the dream and then walking into that room, it was dark. Not to mention that room had no windows and I would spend 16 hours in it. It was dark, okay? Figuratively and literally. And then there was like this moment where my grandparents came, and I'm so close to my grandma, so, so close to her. And I introduced her to Birkin Boy. And she smiles and she's super sweet and super cordial. My grandpa, on the other hand, I love him too. He made a face, right, when I introduced him to Birkin Boy. Not because of who Birkin Boy is, but because I was with a completely different man just a year before that. You know what I mean? And it was like this mind fuck. And I started thinking about my life and I was like, should I be feeling like shit? Or should I be looking at this closet studio garbage that I was recording in? And now here I am at WTF Studios in fucking New York. And my career is better than it's ever been. And so is my mental health. And I'm just, when I look back on that girl, I am a different person. And I'm just, I don't know. This is probably not making sense. I am so happy for how far I've come. But there's still a little bit of this, you know what it probably comes down to? If I'm going to be just totally honest with you guys, I think when I introduced Birkin Boy to my grandparents and just was going through all of the memories of living in that house with someone else who my family thought 100% I was going to marry, and so did I think I felt a little shame, right? A little bit like, oh, you are not doing what you're supposed to do. I think my grandpa actually called me out on that specifically. He said in Spanish, like, stay on the right track. And I didn't know what that meant, but I feel like it was probably something to do with that. And I think I felt a little shitty about it, but why? I can do whatever the fuck I want. I don't care how much time, you know, there is between your boyfriend and a new guy. Like, there's no fucking rule book. And I don't know. I think people should just really take into account how much their family values influence them. How about that? And I don't mean like the family values that you think you've created for your family. I mean the ones that you grew up with, right? Because what happens is you leave home, you get a job, you attend a fucking rally, and you made a sign, and you think to yourself, oh, I know what my values are. I know what I care about. I know what's important to me. And the thing is, that's true, but you would be very surprised, and I recommend be very careful with how the family values from how you grew up are creeping into your subconscious. Because they're there. Even if you think like, oh my God, you know, my parents voted for this person. Fuck that. I'm voting for this person. Da 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 da. There are things at your core that just still live there that you can't just really erase. You know what I'm saying? You don't think your great-great-grandma Gertrude, who instilled all of this fucking shit from, you know, 200 years ago, and it's trickled down to your mom and it's been instilled in your mom, it's part of it is going to be instilled in you 100%, even if you want to block it out. And the reason I'm fucking talking about this is I went home, I felt like a badass because of my career and how I'm thriving and that aspect of my life. And then I felt like a fucking degenerate loser when I was around my grandparents and they were like, yeah, your career, I don't even know what you do. What? You're on the radio and you talk about my grandparents don't even know what a blowjob is. But they think I just talk on a radio station about something that's so inappropriate. They just don't even want to know about it. And to them, it's like, where is your husband? Where are you going? Why do you have this new dude here? What the fuck is happening? And I'm like, hi, have you guys ever seen a Birkin? Thank you. That is why he's here. And that is why we moved on. Grandma and grandpa, okay, get with the fucking times. But it's just something to think about. And to not feel bad about. Don't let, you know, your fucking hometown and old school way of thinking make you feel like shit. Because you do. You compare yourself. You're like, am I doing better or worse than I was this time last year? And it's like, you're never doing better or worse. You're growing. I'm sorry. Socrates, Aristotle, do you want me to help you write a book? Because I know you guys are still alive. But it's true. It's true at the end of the day. So thank you for listening to my fucking gibberish and me go on and on and on and on. But everyone needs to just be kinder to themselves. And what is that fucking quote? Even when you feel like you're not growing, you are always growing. Always. So shout out grandma and grandpa. They're a little bit old school, you know? And I pray to God every single day that they never, ever, ever find one of my episodes and listen to it, because then I would never go home for a holiday for the rest of my life. And with that, let's get into fucking questions. SOS, save our sleuths. Question number one. Sophia, I love you and your podcast so much. Sometimes when I'm feeling super insecure, I can't snap out of it and end up not feeling like the bad bitch I am. Any advice on what to do when in that icky moment? Ooh, I have a fucking list, baby girl. Do I start with the healthy or the unhealthy? Put on some Nickelback. I fucking...
I am kidding. Okay, I don't know what it is about Nickelback that makes me laugh. Put on some Britney, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Energy by Beyonce. I found that song by myself. I discovered it. That song makes me feel like such a bad bitch. Oh my God. I will have 10 squats to do in the gym and I will do fucking 12 with that fucking song. Listening to music, doing any type of self-care, taking hot pictures of yourself, putting makeup on. Those are all a little bit superficial, but also reminding yourself that you don't have too much time left on this earth. I swear to God, I used to have an app. I think I still have it. It's called Croak or something. And it reminds you every day that you're going to die. And it's actually been an incredible fucking app. Because we take life for granted every day. So what are we crying about? What are we sad about? Although there's mental illness and that's a completely different thing. And, you know, downloading the Croak app or whatever it's called is not, you know, the answer, right? But I mean, I don't know. I think it's something to think about. Some other women or men would call that just counting your blessings and talking about what you're grateful for. But I think it's just a little more effective to think, I'm gonna fucking die. So how about I make the most of it today? My mom tells me to stop making jokes about dying. And she's like, because you're going to manifest it. That's like the fifth joke I've made. Knock on wood. There's none around. Okay. Apartments.com believes having a gym in your building does way more than just get you in shape. It turns your entire life around and is a great place to scope out the hot guy that lives in your building. And by guy, I mean guys. Having a gym in your building makes it 10 times more likely that you actually end up, show up, and work out. I mean, it's 5 floors down or whatever it is. And you'll be saving money on a gym membership that you'll go to probably half as much. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live is easy. Apartments.com hosts more rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. Or a treadmill, for that matter. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place. Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita.
filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud.
Okay, next question. Hi there. I have a question about getting a Brazilian laser hair treatment. I am so glad you mentioned you are doing this and I've been wanting to do this, but I am hesitant for one reason. What if my pussy gets saggier and uglier as I get older and I want the hair to disguise it one day? Have you thought about this? Is it a thing? Do you know any older hairless women? And is this an issue? Do I know any older hairless women? I mean, I'm sure I do. I haven't necessarily asked them to like show me their vagina up close. Cause I'm assuming when she says older, she's gotta be talking, you know, grandma status, right? Okay, I'm gonna say 70s is what I'm picturing. I wouldn't be too worried. I don't think you're gonna be running the streets, you know, just wanting dick at that age where your vagina would get saggier and uglier, which I'm pretty sure is also not a thing. If anything, I would think your entire body would get uglier and saggier, but your vagina would kind of like stay intact and stay hot and kind of just, you know, like it would just be the same as it always was. Am I wrong? And if you really want to cover it up, get a merkin. Like, boom. That's a real thing. Get a merkin and get a Birkin, bitch. I'm sorry. I am too fucking good at this. Get a merkin. If you guys don't know what that is, it's a little, it's kind of like a little wig. Or just a little, what is it called when a dude's bald? He wears a what? A toupee. You can put a little toupee above your vagina. Fake hair. Get hair plugs down there. What the fuck? You can take care of it, okay? It's fine. And I just think that's the least of your worries, girlfriend. And I'm actually getting laser like tomorrow. Some really crazy shit when they have you spread your ass cheeks. It's kind of wild. Or get a fupa. Just get like, just, you know, put on a little weight. And have that shit, you know, your belly sag over your vagina. There's so many ways to cover it up. I don't even know why. Winnie the Pooh it, wear a shirt. Like, come on, girl. Get the laser. Trust me, it's going to save you a lot of time in the shower. Okay, last question. Here we go. Do you guys like it when you claim you are a virgin? I don't think I've ever claimed something like that, but she's talking hypothetically. Do you guys like it when you claim you're a virgin? I started hooking up with a random on a drunken night, and he asked me during the hookup. I didn't know what to say and drunkenly responded yes, even though I'm not. It threw me off in the moment, and now I'm thinking maybe he was the virgin. I don't know. It's been on my mind. The sex sucked, to say the least, and not in a good way, LOL. That's a very strange story, but actually not really. Your question is, do guys like it when you claim you're a virgin? Short answer, yes. For some men, and I know it's crazy and shocking, and I don't hang out with those types of dudes, but I have come across them. I was at dinner the other night, and this dude, we were all talking about like relationships, da-da-da. He had just gone through a divorce. He said he met this new girl. She was perfect on paper, and I was like, okay, I have my notebook out and my pencil out and I'm ready to write this down for the SLU. It's like, what made this girl perfect on paper? And he fucking said, well, first thing is she has a really great job. Second thing is she's only slept with 3 guys her whole life.
And I was a little bit taken aback. I was like, you mean she's only had sex with 30 or 300, so she's really good in bed is what you meant to say, correct? You don't mean like the other way around. And he was like, no, it's just, it's a really good look that she's only slept with that many dudes. That disgusted me. I don't hang out with dudes like that, so I don't know what this guy was about, but some men care about that shit, and those are not the men that we, you, me, the sleuths, everyone listening, we don't hang out with those types of men. And you know that this fucking guy who said that probably fucks a girl every night, which is completely fine, and we don't judge that, and we don't sex shame, and your number doesn't matter, but he shouldn't be fucking talking about women that way. Oh my God, your vagina gets like so loose and saggy the more sex you have. Like, let's all grow up, people. That's not how it fucking works. And women can have sex with as many partners as they want. Okay? Men and women partners. Okay? We can do whatever the fuck we want, and none of it makes us sluttier. And if it does, then I want to be a slut for the rest of my life. And with that, you guys, I gotta run. I have to go to this very interesting event. It's a Spotify event. Okay, keep your comments to yourself. And you guys know where to find me, Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y, on all my social media platforms, including TikTok. Don't forget the merch. I mean, do not forget this collection, because cutest so far, best Christmas present, yada, yada, yada. And I will talk to you guys next.